is The Manager's Moment, and I am your host, Belinda Brummer. In episode 2 of season 1, I spoke with Danielle O'Mara. At the time of our conversation, Danielle was at the end of her second maternity leave, had been made redundant from her role as team manager of a customer success management team, and was in the initial stages of mentally preparing to return to the workplace. This is a short bonus episode of a part of my conversation with Danielle that didn't make it into the main episode, but that I think is important. So we'll skip the introductions and dive straight in. In a world where people, especially women, are encouraged to lean in, and most of us grapple with the challenges of saying no to all sorts of things that come our way, Danielle reflects on the benefit and the impact of stepping back. We pick up on the conversation as Danielle reflects on the reasons why she moved on from one of the earlier roles that she had in her career.
And so you're in product, still on the management team, in product.
Mm-hmm.
You move on.
Yeah, I suppose ultimately I loved working in this organization and I love my job. I love my jobs, plural, because I did, you know, a few different roles there. But I think it also coincided with, you know, some stuff that was going on in my personal life at the time. And I just felt like just the weight of all of this was just too much. Mm-hmm. And I needed to, I suppose, find a place for myself where I took a little bit of that weight off my shoulders and felt, you know, I could sort of take a step, not a step back, but like sit back a little bit and not feel so much responsibility and so many kind of day-to-day challenges. Because I was really embedded in this company at this point and I wasn't an owner by any stretch or anything like that. But I really did feel it was mine in some way. It had been so formative in my life and my career, and it had really become part of my identity as well. And I just didn't, I guess I got to a point where I felt like this is just not really serving me right now. It's not healthy. Like, I love it, but it's just too much and it's too overwhelming. So I made the decision to move on and to look for something in a much larger organization, which was, you know, didn't solve all my problems. I still found it really difficult at the beginning, but over time I was able to sort of retrain myself to sit back, to not take everything on myself, to let others carry some burdens. And I don't know, it sounds a bit trite to say, like, start this healing process. It was so intense in the earlier part of the early stages of my career in terms of how much I took on, possibly before I was ready, that I really did need that opportunity to not be striving all the time and not to be aiming for the next thing. And of course, it only lasted like a year or something. But, and then I was kind of straight into the next thing. But then it was, I was heading into my first maternity leave and COVID hit, and I suppose that kind of forced a bit of respite upon us all.
There was something you said there about training yourself to step back.
Yeah.
And not take on all that responsibility. That sounds quite purposeful. It sounds like you could actually say what it is that you did, the moments that you had, the influences that you brought in. How did you train yourself to step back when it is so clearly part of who you are to lean in and lean forward?
I mean, the very basic example I can think of is when you're having a conversation, whether it's in a group or, you know, one-on-one, and everyone, you know, is familiar with the concept of like these awkward silences that enter. I previously would have always been someone who could never let an awkward silence happen and never let it sit. And I'd jump in and say something and it would probably be the wrong thing or just like completely irrelevant or trivial or not meaningful in any way. And so I kind of started with at that level where, you know, even as a team, as a group, if we're, you know, we're asking for suggestions and things like that, I actually just forced myself to stop and listen and sit back and think and only speak if I had something that I believed to be kind of meaningful to say, not just to fill the gap. And I guess then trying to expand it from there and using like that same concept then with those work gaps within a team. And at this point I wasn't a manager, I was just part of the team, customer success team. But it was in a period of transition where there were a lot of kind of change projects going on and how the team was going to work going forward, and this kind of stuff. So a lot of meetings and discussion groups and looking for feedback and input and things like that. So it was a good stage, I suppose, for me to really be able to practice this myself and to be really conscious of how I was interacting with the team, not just rushing in and then realizing later, okay, I've taken on too much and I can't handle all of the load that I've given myself. So I was definitely more purposeful, to use your word, about what I volunteered myself for, what I stepped in to handle and what I took on at that time. And then, you know, it's the situation as well. It was it being a, I suppose, a time of change and restructuring for the team gave me that opportunity to sort of to change how I was working in the team myself. So that might not have happened otherwise. You know, if it had just been business as usual, then I might have carried on and kept sort of taking things on myself as well.
And then you moved into management. And so now you're managing, you know, more people in a much larger organization and the size of the organization that, you know, where you learned how to manage. Just bring us up to date. What was that like? What was that journey like?
Yeah. So I took my first maternity leave in kind of March 2021. And I was out for about 9-10 months or so. And I came back in to a number of like management roles being advertised within the team. So I essentially came back from maternity leave straight into a interview process for that role. I had started kind of prior to going on maternity leave, one role had opened up and I knew I was obviously going out on leave, so it wasn't going to be the role for me, let's say, but I did want to kind of put myself forward, and I'd expressed that intention and gone through kind of the interview sessions prior to leaving. Just to, I suppose, challenge myself, make sure it was something that I actually did want, but also to make sure that my leadership knew it was something that I wanted to pursue when I came back.
So important that we manage our profile.
Yeah.
Do you know that we announce what it is that we want? Too many people sit back and either keep it hidden or expect others to know and to be the champion of their own cause. And so fantastic that you did that.
Yeah, and it, you know, it felt right at the time and made sense. And it also then it helped my leadership kind of plan those kind of years, and maybe 2 years in advance or a year in advance of how the team was going to grow. They knew that I had this, you know, expressed this intention. My manager checked in with me later on in my mat leave just to see, okay, is this still kind of what you're thinking? Because, you know, we still want to grow the team, and reiterating, I suppose, the plans for when I returned to work. So that was actually really important, I think, and something I really appreciated from him as well, to kind of make sure we were still on that same track. Because so often, you know, women go on maternity leave and situations change, and, you know, it's very common for women to not return to work, or to return later or earlier, and plans change as soon as, especially with the first baby, like your life is just turned upside down and your priorities shift. So it was so important for us to have that check-in while I was still out. But lucky for me, it was, everything, the company was still growing and the team was growing. So those opportunities came back pretty much as soon as I went back to work, the January of 2022, I think. So at that point, the team had grown a lot. So we were going from one manager when I left to then that manager being the director of the team, and then three team managers underneath him. And each of us, I was one of those three managers, and then each of us had five or six direct reports each. So it was pretty significant growth within a year.
And what a trajectory. And I totally understand what you're saying about being thrown in too soon onto this path. And yet, so wonderfully navigated. And one of the things that you've said really strikes me is that certainly, in university and then again in that formative company or that formative experience company, stepping back to take steps forward. Do you know, knowing when to step back and actually saying, do you know what, this is not right for me. I'm not okay here or right now. Stepping back and then stepping into things, applying for a leadership role, et cetera, when you feel more ready for it. Really.
And interestingly, I suppose I consider, so I'm just finishing my second maternity leave. Both of those leaves of absence have also afforded me that opportunity to really slow down that pace, to not be having a brain that's like racing a million miles an hour and trying to juggle so many different things and so many different people's wants and needs and demands, and to refocus. And your brain chemistry changes as well when you do that. So it completely changes who you are in the workplace, I think, as well, then when you go back. And for me, it's been really valuable to slow myself down, sort of force myself to do that, because my brain is always kind of like, I will try and do three different things at once, and I've struggled to focus on just one single thing. So it's been really crucial for me to accept that you don't have to rush into these things. And even when, like, tasks would come across my desk or questions and things like that, they're being able to look at things and go, okay, is it urgent or is it not? And actually being able to analyze that and answer that correctly is a skill that I've learned, I would say only in the last 2 years or so, because before then I would have just gone, I have to do absolutely everything as quickly as possible, and not really looking at the benefit of doing certain things, because some stuff is just will come into your inbox and looks like it needs to be done. But if you wait even a couple of hours and someone comes back and says, actually, no, you don't need to do that. So rushing into things isn't, that's getting into the weeds a little bit, but.
No, but I think it links back to something you started out talking about, and that is about people pleasing. And I don't want to unfairly or incorrectly link this, but the question then is, why do you rush into things? Why do you kind of do three things all at the same time and not and then not have that focus versus you don't have the need to rush into it. You are giving yourself and your brain more space to be deliberate, to be purposeful, to think through things, to focus. And what is that difference? Is it linked to the people pleasing? Is it linked to something else that you're no longer shackled by?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right to call that out, because I suppose if we're talking about earlier in career, you have far less experience to draw on, and your experiences in life that you do draw on are going to be closer to childhood and closer to those sort of being in school or dealing with parents and authority figures like that. Whereas later in career, then you're drawing from more employment experiences, just in terms of how we deal with people. And certainly that, I would say you're right to draw that kind of correlation between the people pleasing as a child and that kind of early in career stuff, because it's something that you sort of have to unlearn. And through my most recent employment, I really suppose become more of a, you can still treat your customers well and do what you need to do for them, but sometimes that's not what they want in the moment. And knowing in yourself and having the confidence to say, well, look, you're asking me for this, but I know the business, I know the product, I know your setup, I know everything in and out, and I know that so confidently that I can tell you I can consult and be an expert in my field, in my business that I re represent, that I'm employed by, and I know the product so well that I can tell you that's not what you want, and actually here's a better way to do it, instead of that very quick kind of just want to please the customer and do what they ask immediately and not think it through and not think, okay, is there a better solution? Do I actually know a little bit better than them? Or can I be more creative about this? And think more long term, think more big picture, whatever kind of is needed to, I suppose, I mean, ultimately we're in the business of maintaining customer relationships and growing them and bringing them forward into the future, with the business. So it requires that kind of skill to be able to step back, not just see what you're being asked to do in the moment, but how that actually ties into longer term goals and bigger pictures, to use all this kind of jargon.
That's it, folks. Episode 3 will be released shortly. In that episode, I speak with Emmett O'Neill, the CEO of Story Toys. We explore his mission, which is to help his people create the best work of their lives. The manager's moment, seeing the person in this and every moment.